Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Death is terrible, though born on angels' wings, says poet William Blake. Blake was fascinated with death and beauty and love and art. He once said, "Art is the tree of life, but science is the tree of death." He said that 200 years ago. Perhaps he anticipated the frustrations of Dr. Atul Gawande would have in dealing with death as a modern surgeon armed with all the latest scientific advances, who discovered with one of his patients how powerless he was. Lung cancer patient Sarah Monopoly declined swiftly, as most people do with lung cancer, and as she became more impaired, Sarah's husband Rich kept hoping another treatment would work.
I've thought often about, what did that cost us? What did we miss out on? What did we forego by consistently pursuing treatment after treatment after treatment, which made her sicker and sicker and sicker?
Rich and Sarah Monopoly's experience is one of the stories that Gawande shares in a new Frontline film produced by our partner WGBH, the documentary called Being Mortal, and it's based on Gawande's book of the same name. Doctor, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
It's so nice to talk to you on this very somber but in a certain way beautiful subject of people coming to terms with this moment, and some people doing it in a way that's more poetic and artful than others. And I would suspect that you wouldn't put the healthcare system in the artful community at this point.
No. One of the things that I really puzzle over is why, even in my own practice, I've done such a, not a great job with helping people to the end phase of their life. We always have something more we can offer. There's always something more we're going to say we can do. We can put you in the ICU. We can give you, your most likely week you'll have surgery in your life is the last week of your life. And that's a week you'll get no benefit from it.
And in thinking about your previous books, particularly the checklist book, you very meticulously, with the skill of a surgeon, kind of deconstruct this whole idea of why we make the choices we make in the last moments of life. Here's Kathy Selvagi, doctor of palliative care at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, talking about something that you go very, very deeply into here.
We're all sort of taught that in order to make a difference in our patients' lives, we have to be doing something. We have to be operating, we have to be giving them a medication, we have to be radiating, we have to be giving chemotherapy. In some ways, I think the medicine is the easy part.
How much of a revelation was that idea?
It was actually a turning point for me. When I started talking and interviewing palliative care doctors, hospice nurses, and others, what they kept emphasizing was that people have priorities besides just living one more day. Those priorities may differ from person to person. It's a question of, what matters most if time is short for you? What do you not want us to sacrifice along the way? The most reliable way to know what people's priorities are is simply to ask. We don't ask. And that was the revelation to me.
And the other thing that comes through in your book and in this film is just how medicine has kind of erased that moment of death, that moment of hopelessness. And here's that statement through the words of Rich Monopoly, who's the husband of one of your former patients, who is a very central story in this film.
We're all conditioned when the doctor comes out of the room and takes the mask off and says, "There's nothing else we can do." In other words, I've thrown the kitchen sink at this patient, and there's nothing else I can do. That's
your image of what the day will be that comes.
Correct.
But we always have something more we can do. That's the problem.
Right.
How did Sarah experience that dilemma, I suppose?
She was in her ninth month of pregnancy, 34 years old, and diagnosed with advanced lung cancer, not curable. We wanted to give her every possible treatment, every option that could be given. But we also, in our heart of hearts, would have said we wouldn't want to sacrifice things that are incredibly important to her. And yet we did. Right to the very last days of her life, she was getting radiation therapy, planning for experimental therapy. She was in the hospital. And Rich, her husband, talks about what it felt like. You could really see how horrible it was those final days. For the last few weeks of her life, she was so weak she couldn't even hold her baby. And they never had that chance. And that's what still causes him pain.
There's been such an interest and importance stressed on the last words in death as an experience in European and American history particularly. Can you trace that history and how the Monopoly family really lost that because of the choices we make in healthcare?
Well, it's a couple of things that happened. One is that it's a consequence of the great advantages we got from science. You know, we have been able to help people live far longer, defeat diseases that otherwise would have shortened our lives. And so we now turn to medicine for that option of prolonging life. And it's prolonging life, and it's often incredibly successful. And so one consequence is that we have uncertainty about when those moments might be arriving and when they don't. Second is that we often don't really know what it means to be dying. In the film and in the book, I describe people who have terminal illness, even my own father. But he didn't die for 4 years after the diagnosis. So was he dying? And when was he dying? And when are we talking about final last words? I even puzzle over, what does it even mean to say people are dying these days, because it becomes such a long and drawn out course.
You describe an important difference between what hospice physicians do and what you do as someone who tries to extend life. What is that difference?
And I learned this actually talking to a hospice nurse. What she said to me is, look, medicine sacrifices your time now for the sake of time later. And ironically, when you do that at that end stage of people's lives, people actually live longer.
So finally, you believe that your death and the death of your patients and your family will be much more satisfying experience as a result of all of this.
Yes, I think that being able to make clear with your own family and with your clinicians what is most important to you, what matters most, what your fears are, what your priorities are, what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not willing to sacrifice along the way, makes it so when you come to the end, it's not where you don't want to be.
Atul Gawande is a surgeon at Brigham and Women's Hospital and author of Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End. His thoughts and his book will be brought to life in a Frontline special produced by our partner WGBH. The documentary Being Mortal is airing on PBS tonight on most PBS stations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.